Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be back. I want to tell everybody again that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, but I do publish VRTrader.com and have for about 43 years, providing all kinds of coverage of the stock and commodity markets.
Also, do we have a special offer for listeners?
Yeah, let's do it. For people who still like to sign up here, we're still using the 2022 code. It's 2022 half off, and you get 50% off of any of the newsletters at VRTrader.com. Again, that's 2022 half off is the promo code.
The U.S. debt ceiling. Is it time to go to panic stations, or is this something we've seen before and there's no need to panic?
Yeah, I don't think there's any need to panic. I mean, you know, there's a crisis every time this comes up and it turns out to be a non-crisis. You know, they keep spending money and they don't know when to stop. And I know, the Speaker of the House is trying to talk to the senile President of the United States and, his group and try to convince them it's a good time not to spend more money. But, you know, though I'm more conservative than socialist for sure, history says that even the Republicans spend money. So, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but it seems to me at some point, they'll approve, the increase of debt ceiling, which they always seem to have done over the decades. So, I'm not even thinking about it. Meanwhile, the stock market seems to like it. And maybe they feel that maybe Biden will cut back a little bit, which is some sign of sanity coming into the budgeting process, and maybe just a little bit of a pullback or a little less expenditure might be enough of a compromise. So let's see how it all plays out. You know, they've been spending forever. I mean, that's been the big problem. That's why the Federal Reserve is ineffective, because you've got them fighting the Congress, nobody seems to be on the same page. Though I know Ronald Reagan had done that for a short period of time back in the late 1980s. It's almost a non-event as far as I'm concerned. There are many more important things going on in the world right now, as you know.
Well, in Canada, of course, under the parliamentary system, if the government doesn't have parliament approve its budget, it's called a vote of non-confidence, and it automatically causes an election. Would you like to see the same thing in the United States? If you don't approve of the budget, let's go to the polls?
You know something? There's so many uneducated people in this country. You know, they do polls about, you know, who the president is or anything about.
I mean, election, laws. not just a poll. I mean, a proper look. The government doesn't have the confidence of the members of the House. So let's go and have another election. That's what they do in other countries.
Well, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but, you know, a lot of people like a lot of free things for nothing, and they've been spoiling the populace in this country, particularly during the COVID disaster, where they're sending checks to people. I'm just wondering if they put out a formal election here, which is not going to happen.
Of course.
Whether the idiots, you know, and the populace would vote to spend more money just because it puts more money in their pockets. So who knows how the populace would actually vote. I think you need some intellect behind this, and I don't know if there's enough intellect in the populace to say, no, don't spend money. But, you know, maybe I'm short-sighted there. I know in local elections, you know, many times voters vote against expenditures, but whether on a national level, whether that would fly, I really can't say. It's interesting to see how it comes out. I don't know if the populace would vote against more expenditures.
No, in Canada, it would be a general election. You elect MPs. So, if the government fails to pass its budget, it's a vote of non-confidence in the government. They go to the governor general and says, the people in parliament have no confidence in me. Let's go to the people and have a general election. Now, of course, in countries like Israel and Italy, they have an election every 9 months. And you can see how that can cause a lot of instability, because who's in office long enough to get anything done?
That's part of the problem here as well. But, you know, they are pushing for term limits for, you know, senators and congressmen here in the U.S. So you could argue that short term limits could create the same problem. You're not in long enough to get anything done either. So I really don't know what the answer is there, but I'm just throwing that out as a side comment.
Okay, so basically a lot of noise, a lot of smoke, but nothing to really worry about with the debt ceiling.
I'm not losing sleep over it.
What's happening with gold?
Well, bounced a little bit today, Jim. Still seems to be in a near-term uptrend. Big number is still the highs, as I mentioned before, that 2060-2070 area. You break through that confirms a new bull market. And, you know, who knows how high we'll go after that. We'll just have to measure it. And a lot dependent on the U.S. dollar, though I don't like to tie markets inversely, meaning that the dollar has to go down for the gold to go up. But, you know, it'd be nice if the dollar continued weak. It had a little bit of a bounce in trading today, but despite that, gold went up. So, you know, I give it the benefit of the doubt just because the chart, they were still in a uptrend, though a bit extended, and we'll see how far it goes.
With the U.S. dollar, do you see any trends setting up for the year?
Still the downtrend, the charts are still a downtrend. I mean, it hasn't changed. So, you know, until we get a change there, we still have a weak dollar on the charts. Of course, you know, it will take a few days or a couple of weeks for some indication of a trend change there. I think as we get closer to potentially more active military action in Europe, and who knows if that's going to be in 2 months or a year out, because it seems we're setting up for expansion of war there. But, it would seem to me at that point the dollar has some more reason to rally as a bastion of security, where money tends to flow into the stronger currency that's around, which is at the moment still the U.S. dollar. So, maybe that'll be a trigger for it. But the trend picture is down until proven otherwise. And unfortunately, that still means more inflation. So, despite what the Fed's doing or what Congress may or may not do with the budget, the dollar's still saying inflation is a problem.
So what did the Fed do in their highly anticipated meeting today?
They raised it a quarter point, which they had telegraphed and everybody had expected. But, you know, in the comments that were made after the press conference after the event, I mean, the market was all over the place today. It was down big, up big, down, back up again into the close. The impression is that, you know, I've said this before, we've mentioned in my letter, we've talked about, you know, politics is at work here. You know, the pressure is on the Fed to cool it. Even, the socialist Democrats have been complaining about how the Fed's been too aggressive in raising interest rates. And, I've been talking about this for a while. You know, it's all politics, you know, and then, the Fed chairman, he could be booted out at some point or not renominated, and, you know, if the administration is not happy with him and so forth. So, I think that has something to do with it. So the comments were essentially maybe they're going to slow down a bit in the rate hikes. Everybody's hoping for a pause. There was some indication that might happen if you read into the words a little bit. As far as reversal to reducing rates, there was no statement about that, but the market seemed to just interpret Jay Powell's comments and the script that we got over the media that, you know, he's not going to be as aggressive, and don't worry about him going off the edge here and doing something more dramatic. So the market seemed to like it. The market's been talking itself up for a while. I mean, all they're talking about is when they're going to stop raising rates in reverse as an excuse to take stocks as higher. So it's just a crazy game. You know, we know the Fed's incompetent. You know, for 11 years we have zero interest rates. suddenly they raise it 4% over a few months, and they're always behind the eight ball. And again, the politics have a lot to do with it. And, you know, war expands in Europe, or Taiwan gets invaded, or Israel bombs Iran, or vice versa. And, you know, we have a geocosmic event. We had an asteroid almost hit the planet last week. It's about 2,500 miles off Argentina, you know, which came as a surprise, by the way. Nobody thought it was coming, and suddenly it shows up. So, I mean, there's always stuff, volcanic activity, things on the planet that could happen that could change, you know, government, interest rates, financial forecasts overnight. But, you know, at the moment, and I'm throwing a lot of stuff here at you, but, you know, it's really all unpredictable. But at the moment, the market likes what the Fed said, and it wants to be in a rally phase. And the charts seem to be in a short-term uptrend, so, you know, everybody's happy.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on in the cryptos?
Well, we got a little bit of a bounce, and you know, in recent interviews, you know, I've talked about how oversold Bitcoin was, and you know, we're probably setting the stage for a rally. And I made my crazy prediction that in 3 years, Bitcoin could be back up in the 88,000 level or some number like that. So we had a bit of a technical bounce. And there seems to be, you know, less talk about shutting down the whole system. So we did have the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, state that Bitcoin itself was not to be regulated since it's already supposedly a commodity. I don't know why that would be and the others wouldn't. But Gensler, who heads the SEC, he's as messed up as the Fed chairman and as messed up as just about every other head of every government institution in the United States, from the FDA down to the Federal Reserve. So we could talk a lot about the incompetence there, but the bottom line is, you know, it was a panic sell-off tied to the FTX disaster. I don't think all cryptos are going away, though some people, some notable people, suggest they're all going to go to zero. I don't think Bitcoin will, and I still think the mass group of young people and institutions that has supported the crypto business still feel that it's an answer to international finance and protection against failing currencies and all of the reasons why it was brought into being, and it should continue to be there. So, yeah, there's several thousand of them out there. Most of them probably will go the way of the dodo because they're just not, you know, functional, or they're not being promoted. But, you know, I'm still a Bitcoin fan, so we'll see how it goes.
On the crude front, up or down in the next month or so?
I don't know. It seems to continue to be weak here. My forecast stuff is positive. I know it's been in a correction. It got overdone to the upside, but I think there's going to be world shortages. My models that I'm putting together for the year say higher. So, particularly, you know, get into a war, and, I don't care where it is. I mean, there's going to be shortages. Most of the world still depends on crude oil. They're not plugged into their electric vehicles plugged in, and they don't have solar panels and windmills everywhere, and they don't have geothermal everywhere. So, they certainly don't have nuclear everywhere, though it is expanding. So, I still think crude is the way to go. I know natural gas is really getting hit, and I guess it ran up big because of the expectations of a terrible winter in Europe, which just didn't seem to unfold as expected. So, I'm really not sure so much about the natural gas future, though I would think it would come back since it's so oversold. But I am a bull on crude oil.
Lithium, still hot?
Still hot, yep, still hot. But, you know, it depends on how fast we get infrastructure built to support the electric vehicles that need the lithium. So, you know, I think the market got ahead of itself, you know, a lot of expectations. But I would hold a position in it. I mean, you know, like anything else, you say, if you don't like a market, even if you don't like gold, you still hold a few gold coins for insurance. You know what I mean? It's like just diversification. But the trend indicators still say the big trend is up in it. And there's so much political push for electric vehicles and so forth. Because you need other ingredients besides the lithium, of course, but so many other products are needed besides that, other minerals and rare earths and so forth. But yeah, I would say stay positive on it.
Tesla profits surprised a lot of people considering how the stock had fallen. And now there are protests by Tesla owners because they feel they were overcharged. How come they can drop their prices now, but not when they bought them a month or two ago? Or is that an overreaction to a consumer thing? Look, prices go up and down all the time, but you don't see protests about it.
Yeah, I don't know. We have such a nutty media out there who promotes a lot of the nutty complaints. You know, companies can raise and lower prices, you know, based on supply demand. And, you know, by cutting prices, they'll probably increase demand, which in theory would increase profits. I know, you know, there was some shortage in supply chain issues, and there was big dependence on China, which is their biggest market for Tesla. So there are a lot of variables here. I mean, it's really not their call. I mean, you know, Elon and the group will decide, you know, what's best for generating, you know, sales and profits for the company. But, you know, sure, you can go buy a vehicle and they cut prices a month later, you could be upset. I don't know what you could do about it, but you know, it's not a common thing. I know in the auto industry you don't tend to see, you know, price cuts like that. So, you know, I guess you could be upset, but I don't know if it's a basis for some class action suit or something against Tesla. But you know, I'm a supporter of Elon Musk and what he does, and he's got so much going for him upstairs, you know, besides just the Tesla car business. So I think the stock got way oversold. People got too bearish on it. And, you know, it had a huge move. It almost doubled, you know, not quite, but, you know, from 100 to 180, you know, in a matter of, you know, a couple, 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So, I mean, I'm not going to chase it here as a trader, but, you know, I still like the company.
Mark, anything else you want to add today?
Gee, I would just summarize. You know, we got a lot of interesting short-term things going out here. You know, tomorrow we got Groundhog Day. You know, I write about that in my newsletter, how we get a lot of volatility around that event. We've got the vernal equinox coming up in mid-March. Markets tend to have some, you know, change of direction points around that. So as we move here into February, we got to consider, you know, whether this rally that we just got started here is really going to continue strong, or it's going to fall off into some low point into the March period, but assuming we take off again from there. We just got to watch a lot of the, you know, the short-term cyclical things that are going on out here. So I'm in touch with those, and at the moment, I think you just got to understand that the first 2-3 months of the year, we can get a lot of volatility in both directions, even though it appears short-term, the bulls seem to be in charge.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.